Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor Dag Heward Mills. Thanks for joining us this Wednesday. There is a much needed place in our Christian walk for confessing our faults to one another, and today's message will help you understand why confession is important for you to do well in life and ministry. God wants us to be open not only with Him but with one another also, and from today's message you will learn that you are able to receive restoration once you decide to open up to others. Bishop Dag will teach you 7 reasons why you must confess your faults in order to be healed, and he will shed light on why it is important to share your shortcomings and challenges with the brethren.
Hallelujah. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask you to lead us and guide us by your Spirit. We ask you to take us into your word. Let us not be the same again after today. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 5. And we want to continue our series from the book of James. Amen. I believe that we will be here for some time. Unfortunately, for various reasons, I do not announce when I'm going to be away. I wish I could, but I believe I'm going to be around. So we will progress on this very important series for some time. Amen. So James chapter 5, and we want to read from verse number 13. How many know that the word of God is a book of life to us? All right. So we want to study from the word of God this morning and be blessed. James chapter 5, verse number 13. It says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." All right, verse 16. "And confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed." Hallelujah. That you may be what?
Healed.
Amen. "And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Praise the Lord. Well, if you can recall, we've been studying the book of James for many, many years. Way back in the time when we were at the canteen, we were studying the book of James. We started from chapter 1, verse 1, and we are now in chapter 5. Recently, we looked at is anyone merry? Let him sing psalms. And that's where we looked at the Christian merrymaker. Do you remember?
Yes,
do you remember, please?
Yes.
Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders. We spoke about and taught about the healing ministry. All right? And why God heals and why he doesn't heal. And then we go on. It says that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now in verse 16, it says, "Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Amen.
Amen.
So today we want to begin to talk about, share about confessions. All right, confessions. Now there are 5 important types of confessions we need to know about as Christians. All right. And normally we think about confessions basically in respect of, confessing our sins. Father, forgive me for what I have done, and so on. But there are different things we need to know about confessions, and confessions would really help us. Hallelujah. So today, I want us to look at chapter 5, verse 16, and look at this particular type of confession. This one is what we call confessions for healing. Confessions for healing. All right? It says, if he has committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Now, there are different types of confessions that we need to know about. Now, this is just one of them. Another type, or the most common type we know, is confessing your sins so that God would forgive you for what you have done wrong. All right? But this particular type of confession is a little different. This one is confess your faults one to another. Are you listening to me? So that you would be healed. The Amplified Bible puts it a little differently. It says, so that you will be restored to a spiritual tone of heart and mind. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? All right, so there is a place for confessing our faults one to another. Perhaps this is the scripture that has led certain churches, very well established churches, to develop the concept of going to the priest to stand behind the door and confess all your sins to the priest. And then probably it also led to an extreme form of that, where you confess your sins to the priest and then they give you some kind of certificate which enables you to go to heaven one day. You know, all these things have existed before. But I believe that this is an important part of the Christian life, and we must understand what it is saying. Amen. We must understand it so that we can practice it properly. Now, let's turn to Psalm 32, and we will look at a scripture over there. And then we will begin to understand why this type of confession, confessing your faults one to another, is important. Psalm 32, verse number 1. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Amen. Is that not wonderful? To know that our sins are forgiven. How many are glad that you can come to God and God forgives you? How many have made a mistake since you were born? Can I have any mistake maker to raise your hand right now in the church? Very good. Thank you very much. You are all just like me. Amen. And if you didn't raise your hand, I would like to pray for you after service. Because you have a problem with lying. And I need to pray for liars. All right. Now, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Now, it didn't say blessed is he who has not sinned. It says blessed is he whose sin is covered. All right. Now, verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, let me just make this point here, because I sense the Spirit nudging me to say this. You see, there are what we call confessions for forgiveness of sins. I'm not talking about that. It's only God who can forgive you truly. Amen. It's only God who can bless you. People condemn you and people rule you out. That's right. As for man, man will rule you out and man will cancel you from the book of those who can amount to anything in this life. That is the nature of all men. I don't know why. But men do not seem to want another man to move ahead. So human beings are those who will rule you out and will cancel you out. And they will not forgive you. It is men who will not forgive you and not have mercy on you. But for God, he will forgive you and he will have mercy on you. I remember watching the television. There was a lady who had committed some very terrible murders. And she did some very terrible things. I think she killed her husband or her child, something terrible like that. And she got born again in prison whilst she was going through the court case. And they appealed and appealed, you know, because she was now a born again Christian, asking that her death sentence should be converted to something else. And all the Christians appealed, including some great evangelists, because she was now a well-known born-again Christian. And I remember, you know, the governor or whoever it was in the states, in that state in America, you know, refused to change the sentence. They said, listen, your death sentence, you are dying. Everybody appealed, evangelists, pastors, ministers, everybody appealed, said, no way. And so they gave her an injection and she was dead. All right, so she was dead because men would not forgive her, simply would not forgive her, although God had forgiven her. Are you listening to me this morning? So I want you to know that God forgives you. God will forgive you. It is men who do not forgive. And since it is God who promotes and God who lifts up, thank God that it is He who forgives and who helps us. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to Jesus. So I'm not talking about forgiveness of sins. That's a different thing. We'll talk about that. And then I'm going to give you about 7 principles to do with that. But that is not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about confessing to one another for healing. All right? Healing. Now, you may not know that many people are sick spiritually and emotionally and in their hearts and in their minds. And God wants to heal us all. All right? So back to Psalm 32. It says, let's read verse 2 again. Blessed is the man. Let's all read together, please. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Okay? Verse 3. Let me read it alone. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Hallelujah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Verse 7, thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Amen. Now let's look at verse 3. It says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. In other words, he was roaring and his bones were being affected by whatever was going on within him. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
All right. So what we realize here is that sometimes when you are not able to speak about whatever is worrying you, it can affect you. And the psalmist here was saying that when he kept silent, his bones were sort of getting older through roaring, whatever roaring is, you know. And I believe that talking is a healing process. Amen. And so many times Christians need to talk. You know, I have noticed that there are different types of doctors. Some doctors trained in one place and some trained in another. And I noticed when I was practicing medicine actively that there were certain doctors who were, you know, trained from in other places. I noticed that they were more patient with the patients. You understand what I'm talking about? They had more time. They were more interested. And they were just more easygoing with the patients. And I noticed certain other doctors who were trained at another place, they were more academic. These are the symptoms. These are the signs. This is the treatment. And they really had their paw. You understand what I'm saying? But I noticed that the patients preferred, you know, these other doctors who had time just to listen. I have a burning sensation over here. Then it moves here. Then it comes down here. And it goes to my leg and passes through the other one. There is no disease like that. But you see, as a doctor, when they are telling you, you know that there's no disease like this. But you've got to listen to what the person is saying. And you've got to have time. And it helps. And sometimes people just want somebody to talk to. Are you here or you've gone home? People just want to talk about whatever problem they have. Just by saying it, you know, just saying it helps sometimes. Again, there's the other problem. You go and sell your problem to somebody before you realize that's been published in the Daily Graphic or it is being spoken about on the radio show. Is that not so? So, I mean, of course, with everything, there's a side effect. Paracetamol helps us every day, but there are side effects of paracetamol, in case you don't know. There are side effects of chloroquine. I can give you 25 symptoms, side effects of chloroquine. You understand? Although you take it every day. So every good thing has its bad side effect if you really want to think about that. But still, that does not take away the fact that there is something good in it. Are you here or you've gone home? Yeah. Are you here or you've traveled? Yeah. All right. So God wants us to be able to be open. Amen. And when you are open, and when you are able to talk about your problem or about whatever it is, you will find out that your bones will not grow old anymore. Hallelujah. Are you there or you've gone home? I want to give you 7 reasons why you need to confess your faults one to another so that you can, you know, be healed. Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to show you. And that is why we have established the Power and Wisdom Clinic. Amen. And that is why the pastors are there. And somebody said, oh no, when I come and tell my problem to the pastor, on Sunday he will preach with it. Now let me tell you something. One of the things you will discover if you have a bit more experience is that your problem is not new. And the problem you have, look at the person sitting next to you in the church. He may have the same problem that you have. And you are sitting by each other and you don't know that the problem you have is the problem she also has. Are you listening to me? So when you hear a pastor preaching and talking about something, it does not mean that he's talking about you. In fact, as a church and as a pastor, I teach my pastors. If you know somebody has such a problem, you know, and you know about the problem, especially sometimes the church is a bit small, you know, you can see the person sitting there, you have talked. Do not preach about that direct thing. It is offensive. We teach it. We teach our pastors not to do that. So if that is what is happening, you must know that perhaps the Spirit of God is speaking to you directly. Just keep smiling. Look straight. Nobody will know that it's about you. You understand? Because your problem is not written on your face. Nobody knows who you are. Amen. So just be smiling. Keep smiling. Be free in the church. Nobody will know that they are talking about you. Amen. God, the Holy Ghost may be ministering to you.
That's right.
So I want you to know, in our church, if I, for instance, I've talked to you and I can see you sitting in the church, I've talked to you about a problem, I will intentionally avoid that particular problem. Intentionally, because I don't want to offend you.
Amen.
So if it's coming out and the Lord is speaking, then it means the Lord is speaking to you. Because if I know with my conscious mind, I will avoid that particular thing because I do not want to offend you. Am I trying to gather people or to scatter people? Am I trying to offend people or to build up people? How many can understand what I'm talking about? All right. So I am sharing this with you so that you will be open, so that your spirit will be cured. Amen. Because some people's bones are waxing old. I'm giving you 7 reasons why you need to confess your faults one to another, why you need to come to a Power and Wisdom Clinic, sometimes why you need to talk to a pastor, sometimes why you need to share a problem. Man, the pastor is preaching about me. Pastor is not preaching about you. He's preaching the word of God. Amen. 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 All right. Reason number 1, to overcome depression. Depression. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord God has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Are you there?
Yes.
Isaiah 61, verse 2. It says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen. 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 Now, one of the reasons why we need to be open and to confess our faults one to another, not just to anybody. I would not advise you to just talk to anybody. It's very dangerous. In fact, if you talk to the wrong person, your problem can triple in its intensity. It can just multiply before your very eyes. Are you listening to me today? All right. So, but I'm giving you reasons why this is a good exercise. Number one, to overcome depression. There are people who are depressed because of certain things in their lives. There are people who are depressed because of things that they may have been involved in or may have done that they wish they did not do. Are you listening to me today? And so sometimes you can become depressed and sad, all right? And like we read in Psalm 32, the Bible says that my bones were waxing old, you know, when I covered my sin. But when I acknowledged it, you know, suddenly things began to change. And in Isaiah 61, it talks about the spirit of heaviness. You know, there's what we call a spirit of heaviness. You know, I know of certain people who have wanted to die. When you want to die, it's because you have what we call hopelessness. Amen. Hopelessness means you don't have hope. And depression is defined as a lack of hope. All right? So when you want to die because of a problem, then you are probably depressed. And so you need to talk about it to be delivered of your depression. Amen. I know somebody who killed herself at home because her boyfriend had said bye-bye or told her, no, I don't want you anymore, and I have somebody else who is just like you or nicer than you. And so she was so depressed, she killed herself in the night. She was discovered in the morning, you know, by the parents. And if she had perhaps talked to somebody, somebody could have explained to her that, listen, you are the 7,000th person whose boyfriend has left her today. You understand what I'm saying? Did you know that? One of the things that is sort of lifting when you talk about your problem is that everybody, sometimes you find out that, oh, others also had that problem. Then you'll be surprised to find out that, oh, this person who is smiling and is so happy has had this same problem that I have had. In fact, anybody who is, you know, a minister, a pastor, or whatever, often uses his life to explain the problem, I mean, how he overcame the same problem that you have. And so that problem that you have, that is giving you depression, you know, that is leading you to try to kill yourself or to end your life. You don't want to live anymore. It's like it's not worth it. There's no hope. I mean, nothing's going to work anymore. I'm so down. Things are not going to work out. When you talk about it, you find out that, wow, you too. And you too. And you too. And you, and you, and you. You all have the same problem. Lift your hand and say, yes, Lord! So God is trying to help you out of your depression. You see, some people are so private, but there's nothing that is private, really. Some people are so secretive. Personally, I have a policy that there's no secret in the world. Don't think that somebody can. I don't think. One day I saw a poster, and the poster had several little sparrows all over. And then on the poster they had written, "Can you keep a secret?" And the little birds were looking at each other. Can you keep a secret? The answer is no. These birds cannot keep a secret. So don't think about secrets. Some people behave, you know, they want to give a certain impression that they are so good, you know, that they are so... some people have in their marriages, you know, they want to give the impression that their marriage is so perfect. Which perfect marriage is that? There is no perfect marriage. We are all struggling with the thing. Amen. I'm when I say that, don't get the impression that I don't have. I have a very wonderful marriage. I'm a happily married person. But I have the challenges that everybody else has. And I don't pretend about it. It's people who are not real, who don't want to say the real thing. Come on, be realistic. Let's be real. Let's be honest. Oh. Amen. Are you here or you've traveled? It helps you to overcome your depression. So that you see a problem happens, something happens, you are so down, 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 down. And so now people begin to talk about dying. I don't want to live. I wish I would die. I remember one time when I wanted to die. I've wanted to die before. Oh, yes. I remember lying in my room and looking at the fan that was going like that, around like that. And I said to myself, let me hang myself on this fan. And all the enemies who are talking about me, saying bad things, they will come and see me hanging there. And then they will realize that it's because of them that I've hung myself. And then I said to myself, and then they will be very sad. And they will realize that they've really done wrong to me. But as I've grown up in the Lord, I've come to see that the problem that I had, others have more than that. More. In fact, sometimes when you talk about your problem, you begin to realize that your problem is actually a small problem. When you hear somebody's problem, you say, wow. People are sad because they don't have shoes. When you discover that some people don't have feet, then you know that your problem is not a problem at all. It helps you. I say it helps you to overcome depression. Depression. Sometimes you feel so bad. I'm a bad person. I'm a bad person. I'm a bad person. Then you begin to talk. Then you discover that, in fact, although you thought you were bad, by the grace of God, you are actually good. Amen. And so the devil, sometimes the devil can harass you in your mind. Oh, the devil can speak to you. He can talk. One time I was walking in London with a brother, and then we were just walking quietly. It was a tube station underground. We're walking, and then we're just walking quietly. And then suddenly he shouted, "Satan, shut up!" And I said, "Oh, why?" He said Satan was talking to him, and he was telling him to be quiet. I realized that various things were passing through his mind. The devil was speaking to him seriously. So we're just walking on. Shut up, Satan! Come out of your depression today in Jesus' name. I say, come out of your depression today in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't be too diplomatic. See, some people make themselves look very... Even when they're in church and they're clapping, then they do, you know... When they say lift up your hand, then they just... Some ladies have made themselves more than the Queen of Sheba. You are more than the Queen of England. Very orderly, dignified. But meanwhile, when we see you in the house in action. So don't be... Look, I was in a mixed school. I went to a Chimota school. You see the boys and the girls. You see some ladies, realize that, no. This one, no. Right. They are wild. All right. So don't be too deplorable. Don't think that your problem is so gbeye. It's not gbeye. It's not gbeye at all. Turn to somebody, tell the person, your problem is not gbeye. All right. Number two. Second reason, to overcome fear. Fear. Amen. In 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, I want you to turn to 1 John if it's in your Bible. You know, some people only come with the New Testament, some with the Old. verse 18. There is no fear in love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Amen. Amen. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, when you have a problem, another reason why you need to speak about it sometimes, I'm not saying that it's everything you need to speak about. Don't get me wrong. It's not everything you need, but there are some things it's good to talk about. It's really healing. All right? But one of the reasons is to overcome fear. So the first reason is to overcome depression. Second reason is to overcome fear. Now, some people are afraid. What about if somebody discovers? What about if somebody gets to know about it? And it's tormenting. Tormenting. You are tormented all the time. Because the Bible says in 1 John 4 verse 18, fear hath torment. Torment. So you are tormented in your mind. Tormented in your thoughts. Tormented in your heart. Tormented all the time. And you just go through torments. Day after day, day after day, day after day. Sometimes you're afraid. What about if this happens? What about if that happens? What about this? What about this? And you are afraid of the problem. Sometimes you're afraid of the problem. You don't want to talk about it. And ladies and gentlemen, when you begin to talk about it, you know, there are some things as doctors, we know how they end. You see, for instance, a woman and you are going to have a baby, you see, and you begin to feel your first labor pains, you may think that you are about to die. But if you have experienced it before, if your doctor is around, he knows how this thing ends. Amen. Or maybe something happens during the pregnancy, because all sorts of things can happen during the pregnancy. Or maybe you feel the baby kick. Some babies actually, they sort of stretch in the womb like that. They stretch out their limbs. And you may think that there's something wrong. Something bad is going to happen. But somebody, when you talk about it, say, look, I can feel, you know, I can feel something pushing to this side. Once you talk about it, the doctor tells you that, you know, that is rather a sign that your little boy is healthy. Hey, you'll be surprised. Say, really? When he kicks you more, that means the food is going into his stomach well. But when you don't know, you keep quiet about it. You're afraid maybe the child has got epilepsy in the womb. Or you think that maybe the child is undergoing convulsions. Or you think that the child is dying. Or something is happening. But when you talk about it, suddenly your fears will just go. Because he'll tell you, no, that brother is a sign that your baby is healthy. And so you need to talk about it. You need to talk about it. You need to talk about it. Sometimes you have a problem. You think the person is going to die. He said, no. This is a sign that he is getting well. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So you sometimes you see your child going wayward. And then you just say, no, this child going wayward. You talk about it and then you suddenly begin to find solutions. Some people feel if you talk about this, it will happen. If you talk about that, the worst thing will happen. God is trying to save you from fear. Fear has torment, tormented. Some people are tormented. Third reason. You need to overcome hallucinations and haunting images. Hallucinations. Those of you who studied literature, you may have studied Macbeth, Julius Caesar, and, you know, important. Are you with me? You need to overcome hallucinations. Do you know what hallucinations are? What are hallucinations? Imaginations and images. Amen. Amen. And when you have done something, sometimes the thing haunts you. And hallucinations and ideas and thoughts. Maybe you've gone to see a juju. One brother came to see me. He told me, I went to a juju man. And I took you, Bishop Hayward Mills. I went to the juju man with you. To go and sacrifice you and to do this and this and that. I said, really? And I'm still here and you are confessing to me. Wonderful. And sometimes you are afraid. So you and those hallucinations can make you go mad. And that's the next one, to overcome madness. If you don't take care, you can go mad. I know some people are going mad. Some that they have killed people in the past. They have murdered people. They have murdered people, killed people. It now begins to worry them. They begin to have hallucinations. When they are driving, they see the people. When they are sleeping, I saw one man who was having hallucinations. Your bones are growing old. Talk about it. I said, talk about it. Don't kill yourself over your problem. You are not the first person to kill somebody. As long as there is Angola, and there is Congo Brazzaville, and all these countries, Kosovo, you are not the last. Others have come after you. But many murderers have received forgiveness. Amen. And so some people are beginning to get hallucinations. And they are going, read about Macbeth. Those of you who didn't have the opportunity. When I was in school, I studied Macbeth and I had literature, O-level, one. Wow. Yeah, Macbeth. And you see, he killed in order to gain a position. And after that, he began to have images, hallucinations. He was seeing witches. He was afraid. He was seeing the ghost of the person he had killed. And it was coming to him in the night and the day. And he was afraid. And you can't turn off the light in the night. You know, things. It's like you are going crazy. No, relax. Relax. Just come and let's talk about it. Amen. Are you here or you've gone home? That's why we have Power and Wisdom Clinic. I said that's why we have Power and Wisdom Clinic. There is no, Bible says that although your sin be red like scarlet, it can be white as wool, white as snow. Though it be red as the blood of whatever, it can be washed away with the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you something. I have come. There was a man who did a play, a film about Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene. That Jesus Christ had an affair with Mary Magdalene. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, this is blasphemous. But that person today is born again. Yeah. And you the human being, you may say that, this man should go to hell. But today the person is a born again Christian. Because God forgives. And sometimes when you talk about it, you begin to find and discover that God is a forgiving God. Are you here today? The next one is to overcome discouragement. All right? You need to be forgiven and you need to be encouraged. And you will overcome discouragement when you are able to be open and to discuss and to say, look what mistake I made, but help me, Lord. And God will begin to. The next one is to overcome the spirit of deception. Deception. Because you see, after a while, you begin to lie to yourself and you begin to tell yourself that evil is good and good is evil. You begin to justify things that are not to be justified. Are you listening to me? And then you gradually open the door to the devil. Many years ago, I was involved in casting out devils from a young man. This young man went totally mad. When I say mad, I mean he went completely off. And I was at that time in my room praying, waiting on the Lord. I happened to be fasting at that time. And just before they took this boy to the hospital, he was being taken to the hospital for admission because he had gone totally mad. When I talk about madness, I'm a doctor. And if I tell that somebody is mad, I mean he's crazy. He was talking rubbish. You could not address him by his name. You could not say, yeah, young boy, what's your name? He was not responding. He was talking about something in another country, and that he was just talking rubbish, gibberish. He was absolutely crazy. So they were taken to the hospital. Somebody said, let's go and see Brother Dag before we take him to the hospital. Are you listening to me? Are you here or you've gone home? And this brother was brought along, and we prayed for him. And he got completely delivered and he became totally normal. It was like day and night. But in this case and in some other cases where demons have been cast out. One of the questions I've often asked is, how did you come in? Just before I cast the demons out. Because Jesus asked the demons question before they cast out. He said, where will you go? How many are you? And so on. And so I asked them, how did you come in here? And I remember in one case, demons are real. I remember in one case, the demon said that the belt of truth was loose. I always used to think, you know, the belt of truth in the armor of God, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, belt of truth, whatnot, breastplate of righteousness. I always thought that those things were some kind of, you know, poetry. You know, belt of truth, helmet of salvation, shield of faith, sword of the spirit. It's like some kind of, you know, God was trying to give us some Shakespearean writings, you know. And then this demon said that the belt of truth was loose. In other words, there was lying, there was deception, and so on. And I remember clearly, are you listening to me? That this demon said that we came in because the belt of truth was loose. And then I said, come out in the name of Jesus. And deliverance came instantly. And I will never forget how demons can come in when one demon is in there already. If there is a lying demon in your life, other demons will come into your life. Because you see, the devil, the Bible says, he goes out and one comes back and then they make room for the others. Many years ago, some thieves came to our house. And that's when I was staying with my parents. And then when we came out, we were trying to find out how they came in. What we discovered was that a small thief, small size, you get, they brought along a small, I think there were about 10 of them in a car. But they brought a small size one. And they removed some louvers and allowed the small size thief to pass through two louvers. And the small size demon or thief came in and opened all the doors in the house. And he opened and all the bigger ones came in. I will never forget, the Spirit of the Lord told me that's how demons work. One just has to come. Fear, lying, depression, whatever, name it. It enters and opens the door. Rest of you come in. What did Jesus say? The demon goes out and he comes back and he finds them. So that is why you find out when there's one sin, it's usually not alone. If there's lying, there's stealing. If there's immorality, it goes fornication, abortion, adultery, name it. They always, they are in teams. If it's murder, it's it goes with lies. Because murderers have to lie to cover up. And they have to create stories and fabricate things. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you have the spirit of deception and lying in you, because you're not able to speak out and confess, you open the door for other things to come into your life. And there are many Christians who lie too easily. You lie easily about anything. You lie at work. You lie at school. You lie to your father. You lie. Lying comes easily. Let me tell you, I don't admire somebody who lies easily. Amen. Are you listening to me? Because it's a dangerous sign. Are you here or you've gone home? And finally, you want to avoid becoming a hypocrite. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 17, amen. Because when you talk about something, you can't easily go back to it. So when you don't talk about it, sometimes you can easily go back to it. All right? Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, finally it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. One of the most horrible tasks that you could ever be asked to do is to go to Awudome Cemetery or Usu Cemetery and go and remove one of the marble tombstones and take out what is within. Outside is very nice, but inside is horrible. And there are people who have developed their lives in that way. Outside looks nice. In church, everybody is nice. Look at the nice person sitting next to you. Look at the nice person. Tell the person, Chale, you are heavy, you are beautiful, you are. But that is the outside. Are you listening to me? Ask the person sitting next to you, what is inside? Amen. Our time is up. Stand to your feet. We'll continue next week. Hallelujah. How many are being healed? You're being healed. Amen. How many see the need for healing? And so Reverend Saki is at the Power and Wisdom Clinic every Thursday from 10 o'clock. We are not going to announce it anymore. We are here. Your pastors are here. There are so many pastors. Maybe you're a lady. You want to talk to a lady. Maybe you are a brother, you want to talk to a brother. Maybe you need to talk to somebody. Amen. It helps. It brings healing. Don't think your marriage is so, you know, everybody sees you nicely dressed in church. No, 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 no. Let's be nice outside and let's work on the inside as well. Lift up your hands to the Lord and sing it. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus.
Like you, Jesus. I wanna be more like Jesus. Wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. Oh Jesus.
Lift up your hand and sing it for the last time, everybody.
Oh,
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.